The last couple weeks, we've been doing these homily series about the Mass. And I've been trying, you know, the homilies that I've been doing and some of the others, we've been kind of interrupting the various actions of the liturgy to homilize about them. But I have a little bit of a problem, because today we're going to be talking about, in the homily, the offertory and the Eucharistic prayer. But once you start the Eucharistic prayer, you can't interrupt it. It's one prayer. It may take a while. It's a long prayer, but it's one prayer. And so what I'm going to be doing today is the whole of the homily will be in the usual place today. I can hear the prophet Amos, his frustration. You know, as you know, God gave the Sabbath as a reminder that we need God. Remember, God gave us the Sabbath as a celebration of creation, as a celebration of what we have been given, but to remind us that everything in creation points to God. And his frustration is this. His frustration is people are saying, when is the Sabbath going to be over? When can I get on with the real business of my life, the really important stuff? And every once in a while, you know, I've caught people in, not this church, other churches, you always have to say that, of looking at their watch. When is this Mass going to be over? When can we get to brunch? When can we get on with what else I have planned for today? And I can understand Amos's frustration, and that's actually part of the reason that we've been doing these homilies about the Mass, because if we really understood, if we really got what's about to happen on this altar in this Eucharistic prayer, it would shake us to our core. It would literally transform us and transform the world. And so we have this, in a few minutes, the offertory will happen. Everything that we're doing now, after this homily, will be a response to the Word of God that we've received. We're saying we've heard of these great works of God. We've heard, God, how you've acted in time and space, how your Word has formed us as your body, as we become your Word. And now we're going to respond. How do we respond? We respond by bringing bread and wine, money, and food forward. Don't think that that is a simple act. You know, God made the sun. We had nothing to do with it. God made water. We have nothing to do with it. Although we can plant seed for both for wheat and grapes, God actually making the seed become a grape, that's his work, not ours. But bread and wine, we take what God has given us, and we have to work. We have to prepare. We bring all of our human knowledge. We bring all the history of how farming was invented, how viticulture was invented, how winemaking goes forward. That's really important in the Charlottesville area. We bring all of that, and we say, this represents us. By the way, don't think that money is unimportant either, because most of you spent most of your life making money, right? For your family, for the care of the family. We realize when we've heard the word, we also have a responsibility with the gifts that God has given us to see to the mission of the church. And that's part of what's happening when that money is coming up. It's not just paying the bills. This is how we do part of the mission of the church. And then there's that food, which is not meant for us. And maybe it's symbolic. And every once in a while, at least in my old church, you had to dust off the box of cornflakes because they kept putting the same box of cornflakes in the basket. But it's representative of our call, when hearing the gospel, to feed the poor, to care for the poor. So we're going to bring bread and wine, and some members of the assembly are going to get up. And that is important too, because they represent all of us. And we're going to bring that bread and wine forward. And then I'm going to do something very simple, but very profound. I'll place those gifts on this altar. See, our response to God is we bring ourselves. That bread and wine represents us. And now when we place it on this altar, we're saying, God, now do something with it. We've identified with this gift in response to your word. You've given us a memorial, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. You've given us a memorial, but do something with it on this altar. And I'll offer that bread as the fruit of the earth and the work of human hands. Blessed be God forever. We'll offer the wine as the fruit of the vine and the work of human hands. Blessed be God forever. So when we bring these in the offertory, what we're doing is we're offering them to God and now saying, Lord, we want you to identify with what we brought forward. We want you to identify with this and make this into your body and blood. Then we're going to change gears. We're going to, after the offertory, we're going to go into the Eucharistic prayer. Now, the Eucharistic prayer does not begin after the Holy Holy. It's that whole prayer that starts, the Lord be with you. Okay, you try this again. The Lord be with you. Okay, every time we do that, we're starting a new part of the Mass. We did it at the very beginning of Mass for the introductory rites. We did it as we began the Liturgy of the Word, and now we're saying God is doing something different now in our word. So the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. Okay, we'll get better when we do this for real. But it's saying, wake up. You know, it's like Amos. Wake up to what's happening. Lift up your hearts to the Lord. What's about to happen? Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Have you ever had a teacher who you gave the right answer to, and then he said, that's right. Well, that's exactly what the priest does when he says, it is right and just. It is truly right and just. Every time we do the preface, we say that. It is truly right and just. And then we remember that Christ's death and resurrection are the great saving mysteries. We remember the great saving mysteries that God has done for us. And then this, again, the dialogue back and forth. As we begin this Eucharistic prayer, we've had this preface. We've remembered these great saving mysteries of what Christ has done for us, what he's doing for us. And our response is holy, holy, holy. By the way, this is right out of the book of Revelation, right out of Isaiah. This is what we'll be doing in heaven. So we're starting now. We're starting right here on a Sunday morning. It's still morning. It's not afternoon yet. Or maybe it is. On a Sunday morning, we're here, and we're doing what we're going to be doing forever in heaven, which is giving God thanks for his great saving mysteries, which have brought us before the Lord, and crying out, holy, holy, holy. See, the Eucharistic prayer is not the priest's prayer. It is all of our prayers. We're in this dialogue with one another, this call and response. So after the Holy of Holy, there's some parts to this Eucharistic prayer. They have Greek words. Don't fall asleep. The Greek words are important. So I'm going to be using the third Eucharistic prayer today. When we get to the Eucharistic prayer, first of all, we direct our prayer. The Eucharistic prayer is the prayer of Jesus offered to the Father. So we remember that we pray to the Father. Everything is, we're putting ourselves, because we're the body of Christ. Christ has formed us by his word. We've asked him to identify with this bread, which will become Jesus, and then we identify with the bread. So we're praying to the Father like Jesus. So we're praying in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Because how is bread and wine going to become God? Not through my power as a human being, not through your power, not through all of us together wishing and hoping it were. It's only through the Holy Spirit. It's only through the power of God Himself that what we brought forward, never lose that, it's what we brought forward representing us is being transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, being transformed into God. That should wake us up. And after we do that, we have the epiclesis, first of the Greek words. It's a calling down of the Holy Spirit. So when you see me do this gesture, it's also connected with that gesture. By the way, there's usually a change of posture, not here right now, but there's usually a change of posture as we pray the Eucharistic prayer at this point. We go from the prayer of praying together to a prayer of adoration because what's about to happen? So we go to the posture of kneeling in most churches. So when we do this, we call down the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, do for us what is impossible for us. Transform this body and blood into the body, very body and blood of Jesus, the very soul and divinity of God. And then we have another Greek word, the anamnesis, the remembering. We remember what God has done. Because again, that's what Jesus did. Jesus remembered what God had done in all of the saving events of history and what he was doing through his death and resurrection. That's what he was preparing us for. But he was and offering himself in praise to God as he was forgiving us our sins through this great saving act of his death, resurrection, ascension into heaven, and his seating in glory. And so we remember what Jesus did. So he took, he broke, he blessed, he gave, all in the past tense, all what Jesus did. And then something that just amazes me every time that the Lord allows me to do this is then he allows me to speak the words of Jesus himself. Because he's present among us. He's present right here. And so we're not just simply remembering what he did before. He is doing it right now. And then I can say, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Take this, all of you, and drink, for this is the cup of the new covenant shed for you. Do this in memory of me. See, Jesus gave us a memorial meal. When we bring food together, you know, when we prepare food, it's not just to sustain us, it's to gather a community. Last night after the Mass of installation, I was worried all day long because I had 6 people over for dinner. They were my father, my stepmother, my brother, my sister, and my brother-in-law. And they were all at dinner, and I had been preparing. I wasn't going to be able to cook between 12 o'clock and 7:30, but I still had to get a meal on the table. So I had been cooking and preparing and getting everything ready and leaving instructions for my sister when things got in the oven and all those sorts of things. But the reason we do that is not just so we stay alive. It's so we establish a community of family. And Jesus is taking our language, what we have in a meal, and he's saying, I want to establish a community with you. As I am in this community of life and love with the Father, the Son, and Spirit, I want you to be a part of that community through a meal. And so he gives us a meal to remember. Just like the Jewish people were given the Sabbath and the Passover meal, we're given a meal to remember what Jesus did because he's doing it here right now. And that's the thing that we can't forget. We're not just remembering what Jesus did in the past. He's doing it right now, right in our midst. How can you do that? How can bread and wine do that? It can do that only because he's risen. And he's only risen because he offered himself on the cross and suffered and died for us. And because he suffered and died for us and he's risen, God gave him a place at his right hand. He ascended into heaven so he can be everywhere at every time. So what we're doing, what is the mission of the church, is to proclaim the mystery of faith. When we eat this bread and drink this blood, we remember your death and resurrection, Lord, until you come again in glory. That's what the church does. That's how we Christify the world. We remember the great saving works of God, and that's what's happening here at this Mass. Then we have another epiclesis, the second epiclesis, the second sending down of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's already transformed this bread and wine. Why do we need the Holy Spirit again? We need the Holy Spirit again because we are transformed into that bread and wine. We are transformed into the body and blood of Jesus by our communion. Make us one spirit, one body. The Eucharistic prayer goes on. It goes on to remember the saints. Because what we're about here, we're actually beginning eternity right here. God is preparing us by allowing us to do what heaven is going to be about. Soon to be St. John Cardinal Newman said, and you may have heard me already say this before, that heaven and hell are the same place. Okay? And because they are both the Mass. Because heaven is the Mass constantly lived out day in, day out for all eternity. And so if you thought the Mass was heaven on earth, it will be even more heaven for you. If you thought that Mass was hell on earth, it is going to be hell for you because it's going to be eternally the Mass. This is what we're about. And so it's all the saints, all the angels. Think about this. Since the time of Jesus' death and resurrection and his coming in glory, there has never been a moment that the Mass has not been celebrated in human history. Everywhere, you know, we're doing it right here, so is every place else. There is not a moment when the consecration is not happening. There is not a moment that people are not crying, holy, holy, holy. There is not a moment when this great, vast voice of praise is being uttered to the Lord. Think of that the next time you have doubts about the church. Because this is what the church is. In all of our sinfulness, in all of our humanity, we offer God praise and glory. And we're united to them through this Eucharist. So we also remember not just the saints in glory, we also remember that we're united in this body. So we remember the Holy Father, we remember the current Pope, who is Peter's successor, the bishops and the clergy who gather us in prayer. The reason I was installed as a pastor last night here by the bishop is not to honor me. It was to show that we're in communion with one another, with the entire Church of Richmond, through that bishop who is in communion with all the bishops all over the world through the Holy Father. That's what that was about last night. And then we remember all of the living. Remember all of those who are called to God, even those who don't join with us at this Mass, even those who are not yet Catholic, because if they belong to God's family, they're part of this community. And then we remember the dead and pray for the dead that they also might join us around the praise of God. And then finally, as we end this Eucharistic prayer, it's this great amen, this great communion call. Do you believe this? Are you willing to confess this? Are you willing to change your life, to conform yourself, to become Eucharist? Then we, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever, amen. Now, if we understand that, it has the power to set the world on fire. And that's why we gather at this liturgy to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we're united with it, so then we can go Christify the world. But that's next week's homily. So I'll talk about that next week.